We're going to give you a number of scriptures this evening. Looking here at Deuteronomy chapter number 8 is the foundational text as I bring to you a message, which I told you this morning was going to be on that elusive dream, financial freedom, that we are searching for. Looking for financial freedom. How do we get it? I told you this evening that we would tell you how to get it, and we're going to answer that question for you shortly, and looking forward to that. But in our text here this evening, Deuteronomy chapter number 8, look down in verse number 17 and verse number 18. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 8, 17 and 18, "And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." We understand that any power that we have, any wherewithal that we have to gain wealth is a gift from God. We ought never think that it was by our hand and by our might, by our knowledge. I went out and I earned this by the sweat of my brow, without acknowledging the fact that God gave us the strength to be able to go into work, that God gave us the knowledge to be able to do the task that earned us that income. It all comes from God. This most elusive of dreams, financial freedom that the world is seeking after, that man is hungry for, that is the topic of thousands and thousands of searches every month. 71,000 searches a month, according to a website research that I looked at, for how to do a budget. 71,000 searches a month on Google on how to budget. People are looking for an understanding of how to handle their finances. Is financial freedom having the ability to pay the unexpected bill without any stress? Is financial freedom knowing that your retirement account is taken care of and you've got nothing to worry about there? Is financial freedom being able to do what you want, when you want, how you want? These are statements that if people have made when asked what they feel financial freedom would be. Is financial freedom, does it mean that you can be carefree, even irresponsible with your money without worrying? Dave Ramsey says financial freedom looks something like this. Let me just say, as I teach on finances over the next few weeks, there will be some areas, small areas, that I differ a little bit with Dave Ramsey. And he has a great plan, and I would wholly endorse it. That's why we are looking at it. But for starters, I would use the King James Bible in any of my teaching. But beyond that, there are some small things. Anyways, here Dave Ramsey says, financial freedom may look something like this. Freedom to choose the career you love without worrying about money. Freedom to take an international trip every year without straining your budget. Freedom to pay cash for that new ski boat, or four-wheeler, or whatever you want to put in there. Freedom to respond to the needs of others with outrageous generosity. That sounds like Dave Ramsey, doesn't it? He likes those words. Awesome. Outrageous. Freedom to retire a decade early. This is what he says financial freedom may look like. According to CashCowCouple.com, financial freedom is being free financially means that you can maintain your desired lifestyle without a regular paycheck. For most, this does not come until retirement, when their expenses are down, you know, the car's paid for and the house is paid for and the kids are gone, and their income might be down, but at least it's stable. There is an abundance of crazy philosophies out there. Listen to the unbiblical, humanistic philosophy regarding financial freedom that's ported by richdad.com. Financial freedom is much more than having money. It is the freedom to be who you really are and do what you really want. And many of us, especially women, lose sight of this by putting others first and playing many different roles, such as parent, spouse, employee, or friend. If you want to be financially free, you need to become a different person than you are today. You need to let go of whatever is holding you back. It is a process of growth, improvement, of gaining, we got to make it spiritual, so we put that word in here, of gaining spiritual and emotional strength to become the most powerful, happy, and successful you possible. Did you hear all that? That unbiblical philosophy reported in there? So many things. You're basically, what the author of that is saying is you're stuck in the rut that you're in because you're putting other people first. You're not looking out for you. You're letting other people dictate what your life should be. You need to take back the reins of your life and do what you want to do so that you can be happy, so that you can be fulfilled. It's mind-boggling what people teach with regards to finances. Financial freedom, in a purely monetary and practical sense, most would define as having enough residual income to cover your expenses. That number is different for everybody. So I told you tonight I was going to tell you how to be financially free. Are you ready? Here it is. Using the definition there, which most would describe financial freedom as having enough residual income to cover your expenses, here's how you be financially free. Get rid of all your expenses. You can get rid of your house, get rid of your car, get rid of your grocery budget, and live on the street. You know, by that definition, a bum on the street is financially free. He has enough residual income to cover his expenses. He doesn't have any expenses. Here's the other side of that. The reason that most of us are not financially free is because we put ourselves into bondage. It has nothing to do with the amount of money that we earn. It has everything to do with the lifestyle we're living. In John chapter 8, verse number 32, the Bible says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So understanding this, knowing the truth is what is going to make us free. We're talking tonight about financial freedom, having that financial freedom. If in fact knowing truth makes us free and we're just striving for or desiring financial freedom, then there are some truths that we need to know in order to have that. And it is mind-boggling. The more I study, the harder it is for me to crunch the stuff that the Bible deals with regards to finances into a lesson. I mean, it's mind-boggling how many scriptures deal with finances, with money, with earning money, saving money, spending money, borrowing money, lending money, getting money, holding money, investing money. There's so many things in there. And the list of things that I want to cover keeps growing. Here's the thing. If everyone in this room followed what this book says about finances, you would not get yourself into financial bondage. You would be financially free because you're following the biblical principles that God set forth in His Word. Do you understand that it is God's desire that His people live free from bondage? ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's not ever God's plan that anybody would be in bondage to any type of sin. Bondage can take many, many forms. There are all types of sin that hold us in bondage, and we sometimes can look at the outside and see some sins that we would look at and we would point to and say, man, that's an addiction that's got them. It's got them wrapped up, and they just can't get out of it. They can't stop. Do you know that there are some people that are just as much bondage to this right here as the drug addict is to his dope? Because they cannot say no. They cannot exercise self-discipline and control the swipe. Or now it's insert chip here, right? It's just as much bondage. This is controlling their life just as much as any other sin. So tonight I want to give you three principles that we need to know as we're talking about this idea of knowing the truth, and the truth will set you free. Having financial freedom in your life, it would behoove us to strive to know all the truth about this topic that we can. You know, it's out there. There's an abundance of information. We've offered and have had this class here at the church now for these last 5 weeks and four more weeks on finances for the individual and the family. There is so much information available to us. So many times, though, people want to put their head in the sand. They want to ignore the situation and pretend it's not there until they find themselves in such great bondage they feel there's no way to get out. And let me give you a couple of things, three principles tonight about understanding, having a biblical mindset with regards to our finances, with regards to our money, that will help us to live in financial freedom. First of all is the principle of sovereignty. The principle of sovereignty. Psalms 24, verse number 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. I think that everyone here would agree and understand that God, as the creator of this world, He owns it all. God is the creator, and by that He owns all that there is. God owns everything, and we know, according to the book of James, that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father above. Anything that we have in our lives was given to us as a blessing from God. God is sovereign. God is the creator of the world. God owns it all. He is over it all because He's God. He created it. He owns it because of the fact that He created it. But He is also over it, in control of it, because of the fact that He's God. Proverbs 22, verse number 4 says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. You see, we're going about it all wrong. This world is searching after the riches. They're looking for that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. They're striving and desiring to get it. But what does this verse say? By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. God is over all of it. If we're going to see riches and honor and life, we have got to have fear of God and honor God. You and I are over nothing. Now, I know we don't like to think about that. We're like, well, my name is on the title of the car. My name is on my house. We are over nothing. Luke chapter 12, verse number 18 through 20, the familiar passage of Scripture, And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, what? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. You see, this man thought he was in control. This man, the rich fool here, thought that he was in control of his barns and of his destiny. He thought he had lots of time left to do or to fulfill any of his ambitions or goals. He didn't recognize or acknowledge the fact that God is in control. He is sovereign. He is in control. If we understand that God is in control, then what we have to realize is the second principle, and that is the principle of stewardship. You and I have been given stewardship over the things that God has blessed us with. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, he says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. A steward is an overseer, a caretaker, somebody who has been entrusted with somebody else's things, possessions, or life, whatever it might be. We know that God has made you and I stewards over the things that he's given us. If we recognize that God is sovereign, he is the creator of the world and he owns it all, and we recognize that everything we have belongs to him, then we come to the second principle, and that is, well, if everything I have belongs to God, then God has given it to me for a purpose, that I might be the steward of it. Luke 16:10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in least is also unjust in much. As stewards, we're required to be faithful. Faithful to do God's will with our... You see, I almost said it wrong. Because of the way we think as humans. I almost said that God wants us to be good stewards with our money. It's not our money, is it? It's his money. God has given us the ability, the whatever income we have, God has given us whatever possessions we have, and we are to be stewards of that for him. And he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Your house, your car, well, that's my car. Your children, your job, your possessions, all things given and unto us as a blessing from the God of heaven, and we are to be a steward of that. Do you know that one's handling of his personal finances is a great barometer to whether he should be trusted with anything else? Young people, anybody under the age of 20? Maybe a few of you are a little bit older than that. This might help as well. But understand, if you get to be about 25 years old and you've made a mess of your finances, that's a real good barometer of how you're going to handle other things. Young lady, if you start dating somebody and you find out that he's got a bunch of credit cards and they've got a bunch of money on them and he hasn't balanced his checkbook in the last year and a half and he says, oh, I don't worry about it. The overdraft fees aren't that much. That's a real good barometer of how he's going to be handling other areas of his life. That's a good warning sign for you to run. You need to get a hold of how to manage and handle your finances when you're young. And do it with discipline and character and consistency. Because that's an example. As I meet with college students and I talk to them about coming here, We ask them about a lot of things, but you know one of the most important things I ask them about? I ask them about, how's their school bill? Do you have any debt? Are you making a car payment? I'm trying to find out where their finances are and if they're handling that correctly, because that's a good barometer of how they're handling the rest of their life. They're not being faithful in that which is least. You see, God gave them those finances that they're to be good stewards of. And if they aren't being a good steward of their finances, then what does that show of the rest of the things in their life? And that applies to us as adults as well. God has given us a measure of income which we can use for His honor and glory. Are you being a good steward? It requires that we be found. It is required of a steward that he be found faithful. So the question is, have you been found faithful or have you been found out? How are you doing? Are you doing right? We want to be found doing several things, and let me give you these. These are kind of practical things with regards to finances. We're talking about financial freedom, and are we going to be found giving? Giving. Malachi 3:10 says that we should give to God. Very clearly teaches that we should give to God, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these, but Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 17 says that we should give to the poor. In Romans chapter 12, verse number 13 says we should give to other Christians. We as God's people have been entrusted with a measure of money that He expects us to be generous with. He expects us to be giving. To be giving to God, to be giving to others, to be meeting the needs of the poor. Financially, we're to be found giving. We also are to be found receiving. You need to understand that wealth is relative. Wealth is relative. Every single person in this room is extremely wealthy compared to most of the world. There is nobody in here that does not fit in that category. Every person in here is extremely wealthy compared to the rest of the world. You see, it's relative. You say, man, I just want to be wealthy. You are. You are wealthy compared to most of the world. The problem is, as people, is we tend to look up instead of comparing ourselves with somebody down. The Bible says very clearly we're not supposed to compare ourselves among ourselves. But we always look at the guy that's driving the nicer car than us. And not the fact that we have a car at all. We always look at the guy that, he has the retirement account. And not the fact that we at least have our bills paid. That we have food on the table. That we have something to eat. That we have clothes on our back. There is so much that we could look at. We should be receiving. How do we receive? According to Ecclesiastes 9, verse number 10, we receive through hard work. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. God blesses hard work, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. We could talk about hard work, and we need to teach the young people to work, and as adults, we need to be working hard and stop being so lazy. We need to consider the ant and go out and get it while the getting's good and all of that. God blesses hard work. You want to receive? Get out and work. Get out and work. There are jobs. Somebody told me there was no work available. I told them, if you have a job by Friday, I'll give you $1,000. I did. He had a job by Friday. Been looking for work for a long time. He had two jobs by Friday. In 4 days. And I lost $1,000. But I wanted to help him. I ain't worried about the money. I wanted to help him. There's work available. You want to receive, get some work. You receive by creative resourcefulness. Proverbs 31:13, we see there the resourcefulness of the virtuous woman and how she works hard to feed her family and works for her family. You know what? Sometimes you need to get creative. There might be some things you could sell on Craigslist. There might be something you have a gift for. You could use your ability to earn some income. There are some ways outside the box, outside the traditional 9-to-5, go to work, punch a clock, that you can earn some money. There's some creative ways that you might be able to earn some money, and God's for it. You also received, according to Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, you received through answered prayer. Through answered prayer. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And we talked about this morning, God answers prayer. You have a need, you can receive through answered prayer. Committed to prayer. I want you to understand that these first two areas that we're supposed to be found, we're supposed to be found giving, and we're supposed to be found receiving. These two are eternally linked. This giving and receiving is linked. And they are directly proportional to one another. Give, and it shall be given unto you. There's a verse in the Bible that you all know. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I know we look at that all the time. We think about it for our sin. Like, man, if I did wrong, God's going to kill me. And you know what? God's going to judge wrong. But do you know what? He also blesses right. And if we do right, God blesses that. And if you work hard, God blesses that. And if you give, it will be given unto you in good measure, pressed down, running over. Shaken together shall men give into your bosoms. And I think I turned one of those around. Did I? I don't know. But these are going to be linked, giving and receiving. If we're giving and receiving, then we understand that God is the one that's giving to us. And we are to be managing. Back to the stewardship principle, we are to be managing. We are to be found managing what God has given us. If we are going to effectively manage what God has given us and find our place where we have financial freedom one day, the world's description of financial freedom, if we're going to get to that place one day, then here's a couple things we need to do. First of all, you need to resist sales. Resist sales. Proverbs 20, verse number 14 says, It is not, saith the buyer, but when he has gone his way, he boasteth. You know, have you ever done that? You've gone to buy something, you're like, no, I don't think I want it. They lower the price a little bit, and you're like, no, I don't think I want it. And then they keep talking to you, and you're like, no. And then you buy it, and then when you get home and you tell your wife, you're like, look at what I got. Look at the good deal I got on this. And man, this is an awesome thing. And you're selling it to her, right? You're like, look at what I bought. Or we could turn it around and ladies, look what I got on sale. What are we going to do with it? That doesn't matter. It was on sale. I'm just joking. Don't get mad, ladies. We're all guilty of it. We go out, we say, no, I'm not going to get that thing. And we buy it and we come back and we brag about it. Look what we bought. Boasting. We've got to be able to say no. We've got to be able to resist the sales. And we watched a whole video on Friday night in Financial Peace University about the millions of dollars that are invested every year to try and draw you in, to get your dollar and somehow make you feel like you have to have it. Not only that, you deserve it. You need it. You've got to get it. All of these things are pushed upon you, and we have to be able to resist the sales. Some of you need to stop watching QVC. Some of you, you need to stop the subscription to that magazine, whatever it is they send you. Some of you need to stop letting, you need to unsubscribe from the emails that they're sending you, the gun articles and the, for me, it's tech stuff. I mean, I got, you know, Tiger Direct emails come to me and super sales and man, look at this. And, you know, hey, listen, if those things are drawing you in, if you're going to get financially free, you got to resist that. So maybe you just need to get some blinders on and get rid of the distractions and start focusing on the financial priorities you have, and don't let them rob you of that, because that's what those things are doing. How quickly that thing that we wanted has no appeal for us anymore. The thing we felt like we couldn't live without. I've got to find one of these. I got to get one. And then quickly it's old and no longer of any great value. You've got to resist sales. You've got to control your spending. Control your spending. Proverbs 31:16, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She considered the field, the value of it. Control your spending. This is God's money, and he has made us a steward over it. You know, I'm not going to be teaching on the tithe, but the tithe is 10%. And many Christians are given 23% to Chase, 18%, 24% to Discover. Maybe you got a really good credit card and you're only paying 12%. That's still two more than you're supposed to be giving to God. And you don't think anything of it. Doesn't even cross your mind you're giving them 12% of your money. 15, 18, 22, 23%. That's not right. It's not, it's become acceptable in today's society, but if you understand that it's God's and I've been made a steward of that, I'm responsible for it, and I'm sinning against God when I'm allowing my money to be stolen out from under me and given to something who knows what. I'm not being a very good steward. We have got to control our spending. You know, it hasn't been that many years ago when it was impossible to live outside your means. Because if you didn't have money, you couldn't buy it. Where and when did it become acceptable for us to go ahead and just buy whatever we want, even though we don't have money? We have got to teach this younger generation, if you don't have the money in the bank, you cannot buy it. I don't care what Chase says. I don't care what Visa says or what MasterCard says. If you don't have the money in the bank, you can't buy it. This stuff I'm telling you guys right here, you younger guys, this will save you so much heartache. Can I get you adults to say amen? If you will get this drilled into your head and don't let the allurement of the credit card and, oh man, I'm approved. I'm 17 or I'm 18 and I got my own credit card. If you don't have the money in the bank, you don't have any money. You've got to get to the place where you control your spending based off the money you have in the bank. You're not Congress. You don't get to just print whatever you want. It comes really, really hard, but it goes really, really easy. If you want to ever get to that place where you reach financial freedom, you've got to control your spending. God expects us also to pay our statements. I just wanted an S. But you need to pay your bills. Whatever your bills are. Some people are spending the money they have on frivolous things. Yeah, exactly. They're spending their money on that stuff and not paying their bill. Not paying their car payment or not paying the light bill or not paying their whatever bill they have. You have got to pay your bill. And listen, if you've got money on credit cards and right now all you're paying is the minimum, you are in a mess. If all you're making is a minimum payment on that, you are in a mess. I know the world makes it acceptable and they say it's okay and you'll be fine. They're going to approve you for another credit card and hey, you can consolidate all that loan and keep it going. You need some help. You need to get some help. You need to find somebody that cares enough to sit down with you and help you out of that mess. Because it's a downward spiral and it's so hard to come out of. God wants us to pay our bills. Proverbs 3, verse number 28. Say not to thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give thee, when thou hast it by thee. You have that money. It's not yours to spend if you have a bill. It's due, and you need to pay it. Let me give you the last one, the principle of supply. The principle of supply. God is in control, and we know that. We need to follow His plan on how to increase the supply. I've said it already, if you want to increase the supply, if you want to receive, you can pray. You have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your own lust. I've been praying for a Mercedes for 20 years, and God hasn't given it to me. Yeah, not really. I joke about that. But, you know, you understand what I'm saying. You can't just ask that we could finally get that Bentley or that, you know, million-dollar house. We need to ask inside the will of God, but the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And if we truly believe the first point, that is that God is sovereign, He's the creator of all, then we will invest some time in this point. If we have a need, we'll talk to God about it. God created everything. God gives us wisdom and the ability that we have. God gives us strength to earn and make the money we can make. And God controls our circumstances, whatever they might be. God might bring you across somebody, just the right person. Andrew got up tonight and praised God for the job that he had. Well, somebody in our church, I don't know that they want to be pointed out, but somebody in our church saw on a local ad that somebody was looking for some young men to do some work with a chainsaw and splitting wood. And they knew that our boys had done that. So they called us and said, hey, there's this job available for cutting wood and splitting wood. Do you understand, if you understand that God's in control, that God allowed my boys, who are pretty young to be running chainsaws, to learn that skill and allowed them to be able to get to the place where they could do it confidently and give them the strength to do it. And then God is in control of the circumstances. God allowed somebody in this church to see that ad and to think, hey, I need to call Pastor or Pastor's wife and let her know about it. And then she talked to me. And now they have a job where they've earned several hundred dollars. And I don't know how long it's going to go, but it's good for them. And they're earning money. What I'm saying is God's in control of the circumstances. And He can bring what's needed into your life. We need an increase in supply, we should pray. We need an increase in supply, we should work. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. You want to increase the supply, you pray, you work, you give. You give to God. Give and it shall be given unto you. You know, somebody comes to me and they want help with their finances. Do you understand that I cannot help them out of their finances if they're robbing God? Because according to the Bible, they're under a curse. And I'm going to be trying to help them get their finances fixed when their finances are under a curse from God. You understand, we need to give, and it has nothing to do with the church needing money or with us needing money. You need to give because that's what God wants you to do, and He's going to honor you and bless you for it. Amen? He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. These principles will allow you to reach financial freedom in a biblical way. If you're here tonight and you're in financial trouble, I want you to understand that if you got there, it didn't happen overnight. You know, when I was a boy, we were in El Paso, Texas, and there were some mountains that looked like they were just right there. They're just right there. So me and my friend, after school one day, we says, hey, let's hike over there to those mountains. So we said, well, we might get hungry. Let's grab some snacks. So we got some snacks, put them in a backpack, and we started hiking towards those mountains. About 3.5 hours later, we still were not much closer to those mountains. We realized those are a long ways away. But do you know it took 3.5 hours to get there? And we realized when we get to the mountains, we're going to have to go all the way back, and that's going to be a long time after dark. We better turn back now. It took 3.5 hours to get to where we turned around. It took 3.5 hours to get back. You've taken a long time to get into the mess you're in. Don't think you're going to get out tomorrow. It takes some work. It takes some discipline. But it is possible. And you've got some people here that will rally around you, that will help you, that will encourage you to see it done. Financial freedom, that elusive dream. Now, there's so many things that tie into this. All these things with finances tie together. But if we want to reach that in a biblical sense, we've got to recognize the principle of sovereignty. God is in control of it all. He has made us stewards, and he's in control of the supply. So we've got to do it his way to reach biblical financial freedom.